This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to the BritRest Roundtable. I'm Arnold Furious. Ollie Court is not here this week, but I've got Mark Anthony with me. How you doing, Mark?
Hey! This is our second cut here. Like.
Yeah, we just tried to record something and Mark recorded me as well as me
and
recording
said,
me.
It wouldn't have been that great.
It would have been two lots of me. It would have been fantastic.
But without me, though. If it would have been someone else, yes. Like, it would have been like great. Like, someone else being muted, fine. But me...
No, I get that. That's fair enough. As we were just talking about, you came over for Strong Style weekend. So we're going to talk about that and a couple of other things. But so first of all, if this has been your first time over in the UK, how did you find it?
It was wonderful. It was like out of all the Russell weekends I've had, and like in the past, I don't know, 4 years of me like being heavily into the scene, it was my favorite one, honestly. Like, the love that I got from everybody, and just, I don't know. It was just so open and great, and it was fun. Everything was fun. There was no drama. Like you said before, I didn't get to experience any beef. So
no beefs.
Yeah, there was zero drama, and I like to think it was because of my presence, just saying. But it was an amazing time.
Yeah. And you got introduced to the Weatherspoons app, of course, which...
Storm. Spoons! My natural habitat, my home. I can't wait to go back to Spoons.
That's the big draw in the UK, is the Weatherspoons. It's not the wrestling.
Oh my god, like, I've been, like, every time someone asks me, like, about, like, my trip and stuff, like, Spoons is, like, definitely like, the top three things that I talk about. I'm like, there's this fucking place called Spoons, and there's 2-for-12 pitchers in Long Island. It's amazing. And they're like, well, what did you see? And like, alcohol.
A lot of alcohol.
A lot of alcohol.
Some chicken.
Lots of chicken.
And a glass of water.
I had water. I was a responsible drinker.
That was a good system. I did it without the water, but you know, I did okay.
My system is pretty solid. Mart said that I'm the most responsible binge drinker that he's ever seen. So
that's coming from Mort. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
All they do in Denmark is just binge drink.
Shout out to Mort, obviously, because I fucking love Mort too. I met so many people that I love so much, and like I'm not gonna throw everyone's out there because if I miss someone, I'm gonna hate myself. But God, it was great. It was awesome.
I really enjoyed hanging out with Maxi and David as well.
Yes, it's great to have them over. It was good. It's my yearly Maxi, as I call it, because I get to see Max once a year, so it was really good to share him with everyone.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. He didn't get ribs on the Friday, though.
He was really upset about the ribs.
This was in Wolverhampton. We went in search of food and went to a chicken and ribs place at, like, midnight, I guess.
I think it was midnight.
They were just closing down, and they hadn't got any ribs. In my review, it's the Friday is down as Maxi's Ribless Friday.
Yes, I love the review. It was great.
the Friday, the first day you were there for the wrestling, you got to go to Fight Club Pro.
Yes, finally. Finally in Wolves. And everyone's just like, oh, how do you love Sonny Wolverhampton being all like, sarcastic about it and shit, and I fucking love Wolverhampton. It's great. I felt very much at home in like the areas that I stood in over that weekend, whether it be Wolverhampton or Shoreditch, or like, it was just great.
Although at Wolves, you got to see Miko Satomura.
God bless. I cried. I literally cried.
I love the fact that we all look queued up to have a little chat with her afterwards. And just like the four of us all queued up, one after the other.
She's the nicest. Like, she was getting ready to put her stuff away because no one was seeing it. I'm like, oh no. I was like, if I could talk to Mako, like, I'll take that chance. And I got it. And she's the nicest, like, person. She's so sweet. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, she's so lovely.
Yes. Like, and then seeing her wrestle was amazing. Like I know her versus Chris wasn't the best match of the night, but it was my favorite just because of, like, I think you said it best on your review, the spectacle of seeing Mako.
Like, yeah, yeah. I seem to keep missing her. I'd had tickets to, like, I think three different shows that she was on, and I just couldn't make it for various different reasons. I was really ill the once, and then I had to go to work. I had to work over as well. So I'd missed her three times. I'm like, I'm jinxed. I'm never going to get to see Mako Satomura. And that was a major highlight of my weekend, was not only seeing her wrestle, but getting the chance to talk to her as well after the show. Yeah, like you say, it wasn't the best match on this show. I thought the best match was Amari Keith and Lee. Keith Lee.
Yeah. Oh,
they've been
so
building
good
to that. Yeah, that was their third match. And every one of them has been really good. And they've been kind of telling this story about how it's... Like, Amari got a win, but, like, he didn't... He got destroyed in that match that he won. So having him come back and get, like, a kind of a definitive win over Keith in the end there was a really nice touch.
Yeah, I'm ready to see more Amari, like, everywhere. Like, I think it's about that time, because, like, man, he's so good.
Yeah, he's still a little rough around the edges, but he's only had a couple of years, and...
Yeah, like, for, like, the amount of time that he's been wrestling, he's fucking fantastic.
He's just got something about him that he just stands out. And I had an issue with his gear before, but, like, he's changed that up, and he's just really good.
I remember... I think when he came over for, like, the Chikara, like, weekend, the Young Lions Cup, or whatever, and they were like, oh, yeah, he's at Beyond. And I'm like, why the fuck would you not book this man if he's at your show?
I guess he's just not well-known internationally.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. Like, but, damn, he's so good. He definitely should be more well-known.
Did anything else exciting happen in Wolverhampton, or was that, like, the... It just kind of peaked with Amari and Mako.
Pete Dunne beating people up with shoes was great.
He's got a shoe gimmick now. I'm not sure what I think of that. But...
It's pretty hilarious to me, honestly. Fans giving him their shoes and shit. It's funny. Yeah, I find it hilarious.
I completely forgot the fan gave him the shoe.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was funny. Like the show as a whole, like it was a really good show. I had... the time of my life that night, like, just fucking dancing to every theme and being really drunk and watching great wrestling with great people. Fight Club Pro was fantastic. I can't wait to come back soon. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I felt that the whole night was kind of an experience. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
The whole night was great. And then, like, going to the Gifford Arms after was fantastic, too. Dancing the night away.
Yeah, I remember asking you the next day, like, what time did we get back to the hotel? It was like 2-ish, and you were like, five.
Yes, because I think there's a tweet from David as proof that he's just like, I woke up at 5 in the morning to Mark and Max not being able to open the hotel door. And was like, but that wasn't my fault.
I got like a photo that I'd taken, and it was... It was me and you, I think, like, in the Gifford, and the timestamp on it was, like, 2-something. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was, oh, man, that was great. That night was great. Just, like, so much dancing and singing and the Gifford Arms. God bless.
That was a good time.
Yeah, it was. It was funny seeing all the wrestlers having a good time, too. It was hilarious.
And then we had to go down to London. For like Strong Style and Eve, and I had not had a lot of sleep, and we all looked like shit.
That's exactly why I skipped the first night of Strong Style, because I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna need a little bit more rest than what I need, even though I didn't get it, but at least I tried, and then I'll just do Eve, and that was the plan.
Didn't miss an awful lot on the first night. It was a good sort of introduction to Strong Style on night one. The field, like the favorites. I thought Pete Dunne and Doug Williams was really good. Sabre and Mambo was tremendous. I thought Chuck Mambo really reached that brass ring. There are people saying, like, why is he even in the tournament? And he went out there and proved himself.
I love Chuck Mambo. He's so good.
He's such a lovely man.
Yeah,
I say this
wonderful.
All
he's
the time.
Wholesome. He's wholesome.
I say this all the time. I keep going, oh, he's one of the best people in wrestling. But, like, Chuck Mambo genuinely is one of the nicest people in wrestling.
Yeah, what a wholesome man. I love him. And he, like, I did see it and like on VOD because, like I said, I skipped it the first night. But I saw it on VOD and he did fantastic against Zach. And so it just makes me more hyped to see more, like, Mambo doing these kind of things. And, like, we'll see. Hopefully he can.
Well, this is a big chance for him, and I thought he took it.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely did a fantastic job with the opportunity he was given.
And we kind of skipped out before the main event, which was Chris Brooks and Cassius Ohno, but I have watched that back, and I thought it was really good as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, would you expect anything less from those two, like, honestly?
I don't, some people that were there said it wasn't very good, and I was kind of skeptical. Well, one of them was Keir, so...
Oh, Keir. Oh, God. First of all, I fucking love Keir. But this is, like, the most negative man I've ever met in my life.
He is until he loves something, and then he's not.
Yeah, no, it's great, though. It's hilarious the way that he, like, jokes on things. I fucking love Keir.
But yeah, Brooks and Ohno. I thought that was a really good story they told there. The whole Ohno cut the promo afterwards saying, like, you know, he's known Brooks since he was 14 and, you know, he felt like he kind of stepped up to him and proved that he could work on his level. And that was a really nice little story they told.
Yeah, yeah. Like, God bless. I'm so glad that match got to happen. And, like, I'm just glad we got to see Ohno in Super Strong Style.
Well, he'd done it before as Chris Hero, but...
Yeah, I mean, just, like, as a WWE person, they're like, oh, yeah, well, let's you do Super Strong Style, why not? Like,
I thought he had a very strong weekend, but we can kind of talk about that later, because it's kind of later on that he came into the mix, as it were, for the best matches of the weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like I say, we cut out before Brooks and Ohno went on, because we wanted to get across town to Your Call. Which is where you were.
On the balcony there was, waiting.
Yeah.
Like Sting.
For Wrestling Eve's Wrestling Queendom. This was a really big show for them. And I think there are people out there who kind of were hoping it would fail just to see Eve fall on their face. And I know I've experienced this in conversations with people. There are people who really wanted it to fail.
And we don't get to... Why is that?
I just don't know. Some people really just don't like the reads, I guess. But, I mean, it's very rare that we talk about Eve. I think we talked a bit about She-Won last year. But this is like the one show they've done where they've completely exceeded expectations. They didn't completely sell out Your Call, but they had an awful lot of people in there, and they put on a great show.
Oh, man. Fucking Eve was incredible. Like, that show was amazing, honestly. Like, I don't know much about the read, so I don't have any, like, thing where I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, I just got excited because it's an all-women show. It's the... What was the biggest all-women show in UK history?
European history, I believe.
In European, which is fucking amazing. I'm glad to be a part of that. Got to see Mako wrestle again. Got to see Aja fucking Kong wrestle. Like, I was all about it, and the night was just amazing. Like, you know, they could have just had, like, oh, yeah, we sold our tickets, and it doesn't really matter. We can just put on whatever show. But, like, they put on, like, a show that was just hitting all night. Like, it was great.
I think they felt like they had to load it up because it was the first show that they'd done in a big venue. So they had a War Games match. They had a ladder match. They had a balcony dive, which I'm not sure was entirely sanctioned. And they had Miko Satomura. They had Aja Kong. It was a loaded up show. And Chris Wolf, of course, as well.
Oh, man, yeah. Love Chris Wolf. Yeah, it was just... It was loaded. And, like... And you would think, like... all right, all these things are going to be like the big, but the main event of Sami Zayn and Charlie Morgan was just phenomenal.
It really was outstanding. I remember saying that we'd hit curfew, and I've never known a show in York Hall go past curfew like that. So I was fully expecting it to be Sammy arguing that the fans are load, and then she just gets rolled up, and that's it.
Yeah, I remember you telling us that, like, oh, like, because I'm used to the same thing, like in New York, like it's 11 p.m. and that's it. Like, you, if you go past that, you're getting shut down.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they wanted to shut the show down. Security did not want to keep the show running.
Fuck them.
So the threat was there that they were going to close it down. Because there was some major queuing problems as well, which...
Yeah, someone brought a knife, apparently, like an idiot.
Yeah, for some reason. So we got there at like... I'm trying to think what time it was. Like 8 o'clock? Maybe just before 8 o'clock? And the queue was still around the corner. So we didn't get in until about 8:30, I guess, and the show was due to start at 8.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Like, I'm like, well, you know, don't bring weapons to wrestling shows, guys. I don't know, like, who you think is like gonna get you at this wrestling show, but
I think it was a pen knife.
Oh God!
And I think it was unintentional. But, yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me. Like, surely you check your bag if you're going to a... Especially York Hall. And then they got really funny about it and started taking everybody's, like, water and stuff. And it was just like, you can't bring anything in.
Nothing.
So, oh, okay. Nothing at all. Nothing comes in, just you.
Well, man, what a show, though. Like,
oh yeah,
fuck. It was worth, like, the money, the trip and everything. It was great.
I was saying to Big Chris after the show, I said, "This, if they can capitalize upon this and go on to do something else, like another big show that they can build to, because they've shown they can do it right, then this might be the most important show in Europe this year. Yeah. It might be the most important show in the world this year, because this is women's wrestling... And they've taken it to another level.
Yeah, like, I mean, if they can continuously do this, like, at least once a year, I think that's a very big step. And that would make me very happy, honestly.
Yeah, and the best thing about it was that the show was just such a fucking home run. Like, it was so outstanding, up and down. Like, there was nothing bad on this show. Kaylee Ray and Miko Satomura is, like, a low-end match of the year contender. So is Charlie Morgan, Sami Zayn. Really good
fucking
wrestling.
Amazing. Yeah, and like the atmosphere was great. You know, it was a little hot, but whatever. Like that's wrestling. The atmosphere was fantastic. People were great. Like that, I didn't hear anything like any like stupid like chants or anything like that. But then again, Eve has their rules, which I'm really glad they do.
I think part of me really enjoyed that it was a different crowd to what you usually get at York Hall. I'm not a big fan of some of the audience that Rev Pro draw, and I don't call them the Bullet Club fans, but like, if you're wearing a Bullet Club shirt, then chances are we're not going to.
Well, there was that one person that didn't like us that moved or something like that because we were too rowdy.
Yeah.
I saw the tweet.
I guess. I don't think we're that rowdy.
But I don't know. I remember headbanging very hard to Kaylee Ray's theme because it was my first time hearing it live.
Yeah, it was such a good show though, and
yeah,
I want to give it its
big
props
to the Reeds and Eve and all that stuff. I hope they can do it again next year. I mean, it would be a fantastic like weekend every year to have like the Wrestle Queendom Super Strong Style Fight Club. Like, why not? Yeah, that's like a mini. That's like a mini Mania weekend.
Like 4 days. Yeah, yeah. I know. I loved it. I really enjoyed myself. So that was Eve. After the show, I was thinking this might be the show of the weekend.
Yeah, it was
because it was that good.
It was amazing, honestly. It probably was my favorite show of the weekend, honestly. It was like, coming out of there, I was like, oh, man, it's one of those shows where you're like, man, I fucking love wrestling, and this is why, like.
Yeah.
God bless.
So the next day, you got to go over to Alexandra Palace. I completely forgot where it was.
But not without another trip to Spoons first.
Oh, yeah. No, we went over to Spoons because Eddie Sideburns was
there. Love Eddie Sideburns. Kissed him a couple times. It was great.
And we took the bus up the hill, which means you didn't actually walk up the hill.
Yeah, no, thank God.
I walked up it on day one, and I was feeling pretty moldy after that 5 a.m. finish at Fight Club Pro. And I have to tell you, it was an experience.
Oh, man, I don't think anything is worse than Danny going up the hill, and then once he's up the hill, realizing that he forgot his tickets at home.
Had to go back down.
That's fucking hilarious. Good times. Well, yeah, night two of Strong Style. Where this is, yeah, my first night in Alexandria Palace. What a nice venue.
Yeah. I missed the show last year, the September show.
Reach the Sun?
Yeah, I think so. It was Travis Banks and Pete Dunne was the main event. I didn't get to go to that show. Again, I had work or health issues, I forget which. Probably both. And I regret not having been to this building because I kind of disagree with my own take on it. Because I was like, I don't like big buildings generally. I'd rather watch wrestling in a small pokey building. But this is just the way they got it laid out. I could basically stand wherever I wanted, and I always had a great
view. It was just so spacious and I don't know. It was really good. It was probably one of my favorite venues that I've been to, because it was just so big, and there was wherever we were sitting, in Orange, I believe, you could see everything fine, and I feel like everyone behind us could see everything fine too. So it wasn't.
And they had the big screen as well. So perfect. You couldn't see over the person
and the food and shit in the other huge area.
Oh God, yes.
Great stuff. Great.
A whole different hall for the merch, for the food, for the beer.
Good stuff.
It was amazing. It was
amazing stuff. I was like, oh man, this is some shit. A lot of people should look into getting venues like this if they could afford it.
I hear they got, they got a deal on it. I think I remember telling you about it in the pub that because they sold so much alcohol at the September show. Last year, that they got a discount rate on having Alexandra Palace, and they got the three nights for the price of one. So that's why they did Strong Style there. I think there were still tickets available right up to the day. So there are people who don't fancy it as a venue, and I know it's not quite as central. Electric Ballroom's so easy to get to. It's a 20-minute walk from Euston Station. It's so central. But honestly, it's worth the trek.
Yeah, I loved it. I really loved Alley Pally as a venue, and then the show was fucking awesome, of course. Oh God, it's just so much shit. It's greatness.
So, what was your favorite match from night two? Because I was kind of torn between Tyler and Cassius Ohno and Sabre and David Starr.
I'm thinking Sabre and Star was my favorite. It was just so oh man, Tyler and Ohno was fantastic, but there was something about Sabre and Star that just gave it the little edge for me, and that match was just fucking incredible. David Starr is not good at Twitter, but he is great at the Rusties.
And Sabre had just one hell of a weekend.
Oh God, yeah.
I think he had match of the night on night one. I'm kind of edging towards him having match of the night on night two. And I'm pretty sure he had match of the night three as well.
Night three for sure.
So what a fucking MVP.
That's Sabre. That's the god right there. Best technical wrestler in the world. Gotta love that man.
I'd go as far as say that at the moment, I think he's the best wrestler in the world.
I mean, it's hard for me to argue that, honestly. Who can I throw out there that's better? I mean, you know, people can be, oh, Okada, blah, 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 but like, I love Okada too.
Okada's doing it sort of every now and again. Like, he's not defending his title every month. He's not, even though he's having great matches fairly consistently, Zack Sabre's coming out and having like tournaments worth of great matches every time. New Japan Cup, he had like 4 great matches. Strong Style, 4 great matches. It's so consistent.
Yeah, man. God damn, that match with Star was just so good. Like, I just remember, like, I had to stand up for a good amount of it because, wow, it was just amazing. Two fantastic technical wrestlers doing what they do and beating the shit out of each other, which, that's my thing. I love that.
There was an awful lot of meaty strikes in this. I like the clotheslines from Star. He was hitting those so hard. And Sabre's slaps in this.
Yeah, slapping shit out of David Starr. It was amazing. I loved it. But yeah, Cassius and Tyler, another just incredible wrestling match. It's like, every time I watch Tyler Bate wrestle, I think it's not fucking fair that this man is only 21 years old. And like, he'll be 25, and like, I can't even imagine how good he'll be at 25.
Did I introduce you to his mom?
She found me.
I think I told her where you were.
Okay, yeah. She found me in at Fight Club because we follow each other on Twitter and stuff like that. And I think so she's like, oh, it's Jill. I'm like, oh, Jill. Well, she's mad sweet. She was great. It was really nice meeting her.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Jill B. Shout out. God bless.
So yeah, the only bad thing about the Tyler Cassius Ohno match is that Tyler injured his shoulder during it. And I was convinced that it was going to be not like a worked injury, but that he would come back anyway and wrestle on the final night and then overcome the odds and win. That's how I had it.
I guess it was bad enough that like they were just like, nah.
No, I haven't seen anything from Tyler since, so I don't know whether, like, how bad that injury was. I don't know if you've seen anything from his social media.
No, I haven't seen him say anything. Hopefully, I mean, he wrestled. Since.
Yeah, he wrestled on the...
Yeah, the other day, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know, he must be okay. And he wrestled at Scrapper Mania as well. Of course he did, yeah. So, yeah, I guess it wasn't that bad, but it was bad enough to take him out of the tournament, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
We had quite a lot of people complaining about Volta and Travis Banks having a non-finish. And I actually had a chat with Jim Smallman 2 hours after that show, maybe even 3 hours after the show. It was kind of early in the morning, and he said it wasn't a non-finish. The finish was Travis got counted out because he's a chicken, and Volta gets to stay strong by not winning, but he bossed the match. So he said that's a finish, it's not a non-finish. So I don't know if people have aggravated him by complaining about the finish on Twitter. I didn't see any of that because we're in the pub.
Yeah, we were at Spoons again. So we didn't see any of that. But I love the finish. I love the finish. I love the t-shirt that came from the finish.
Oh, the t-shirt. The t-shirt was so good.
Kick out at 1, walk out at 10.
I remember for that chant, he kicks out at 1 that we did on the Fight Club Pro show.
Oh, God. That's so much chance. So much hilarious chance and so much ooh-ah for Travis Banks. Nothing but respect for my big Kiwi.
Okay, so night 3. I'm just looking through my notes here. So it started off with them trying to resolve the the Tyler Bates situation, and they threw out a Wasteman challenge and then changed it into a, I guess it was a 7-way for the vacant spot, and Cassius Ohno won and got back in. Do you think that was the right choice? It certainly felt like it come the end of the night.
I think so. I absolutely think so. I thought it was the best choice.
The only possible downside is that as soon as Ohno was back in, I'm like, I can't see him winning the tournament. So that
that's the only downside. And the second downside for Angelico not winning was we didn't get to hear Bangarang again. But song of the weekend, by the way.
Well, Eddie kept coming up to me and started talking about Bangarang, and I didn't know what he was talking about because I'm just old and I didn't know what the song was called.
Oh my god, yes, it's like the greatest theme. I love it. I hope they book Angelico for the American shows so I can show the Americans how to do it right.
If they're allowed to use his music. I know.
We'll see. But yeah, like I think Cassius was the best choice, honestly, to go and have like the best final against Zack Sabre Jr.
I kind of felt that the Ohno Zach Gibson match just didn't really work as well as it would have done if that had been Tyler Bate in that match. I felt that was kind of that would have been a more perfect situation, and then you'd have had Tyler and Zack Sabre in the final, which would have been less predictable. So I can see how it was originally played out on paper, and unfortunately that didn't get to play out in the flesh, but the replacement was a really good Cassius Ohno match in the final with Sabre. Did you prefer the final or Sabre and Keith Lee? Because they were very similar matches, but like, I don't know, I'm kind of torn as to which one was my favorite.
I think I prefer the final.
Yeah, that's what I got.
That's what I'm thinking. I just think the incredible chemistry that Cassius and Zach have, it just makes it so much like, it just gives it the edge, honestly. They're so great together, and I was ecstatic when Cassius won that match. I was like, oh my god, if he makes it all the way and we get him, like, it's, God bless. Like, I'm just really happy. Whenever I get to see Cassius wrestle, I'm just really happy, and to get to see him wrestle like a couple times in one weekend was fantastic. I'm sad I didn't get to see him for his little meet and greet, but I was at Spoon's.
He had a very long key for that.
Yeah, I was like, oh no. Like, I was like, hopefully I'll see him after the show. I didn't get to because he was on the other side, apparently, that I didn't know.
Yeah, well, I came at the arena part, and there's this massive queue running across the the food court. I was like, what the hell's this for? And I don't queue for stuff like that anyway, so I just kind of strolled on past, and then like he turned up about 10 minutes later, and I was like, oh, okay. That was the Cassius queue.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, no, I missed him. But I got to see Zach, in which I love Zach. I love him so much. I haven't gotten to see him in like a couple months. So it was really good seeing him. He was happy. He was ecstatic because I was like hiding behind the person that was in front of me. And I'm just like, oh, hey, it's me. He's like, holy shit, what are you, like, the main thing that I got, yeah, from wrestlers that know me from the UK, is like, what the fuck are you doing here? Trent Seven was the greatest one. What the fuck are you doing here? I'm like, wrestling? Oh god, it was what a fucking amazing weekend of wrestling.
There is something else that happened on night. Well, there's two things that I want to talk about from night three, and they're both promos. There's the promo from Christian Jacoby, where he came and announced that he didn't he didn't think Pete Dunne was the best independent wrestler in the world today, and then just casually name dropped Ilya Dragunov and walked off.
Like the scream that me and I think it was me and Gary sitting together, and we were, because at first like Christian's talking, and I'm like, yo, what if he what if he brings up Ilya? Like, it's Ilya versus Dunn. It's like, everyone's just like, oh shit. So then when he does, we're just like, yes!
When he did the Bazigbar thing.
Yes!
That made me very happy.
That was a very like big moment of the weekend for me, where I'm just like, Pete Dunne versus Ilya Dragunov is gonna fucking happen, and now we know it's gonna happen at fucking Wembley.
That was a chapter 69 spoiler there.
Nice.
For anyone who hasn't seen the show yet, you probably know anyway.
I mean, if you've seen it, if you're listening to this, I'm pretty sure you've been on Twitter. So
you'd be surprised. We've had complaints.
Oh, God. I mean, if you want to complain to me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
send your complaints to me. I'll put my Twitter at the end of this.
Like, as soon as they announced when it was happening, I bought a ticket to Wembley.
I saw that, and I'm so fucking jealous. Because, like, that is the one thing. I was like, this is the match that would get me to just be like, I'm buying a ticket to England. But I cannot, because I have to do a Vegas trip.
That's too bad, because you could have done Wembley... And then World Tag League, because it's like 3 days later, I think.
God.
I know.
That's so sad.
I know, man.
I need to get to Germany. I do need to get to Germany.
So was that. And also, after the Jimmy Havoc, Joey Janela death match, which I thought was good, but
a hardcore match.
Yeah.
Rather than a death match.
They did the cinder blocks and...
Yeah.
That was some.
I have this one rule, like no light tube, no death match. Like, I don't know. That's just me.
So yeah, they did that match. That was fine with that. The promo that Jimmy Havoc cut was so nuanced and so like straight from the heart. It's one of the best promos I've ever heard. It was incredible. I don't know if you caught at the start of it, but Jim Smallman went to go and help him up, and he refused his help. And this is throwing back to way back to like the first turn on him, like when Havoc turned heel the first time on Smallman, because he used to help him up after like the vicious like hardcore matches that he had, and. The return when he came back and Jim helped him up, and to have him just reject that and to just go off and cut this promo about how he resented being misused and just disregarded just because he didn't have a WWE contract.
I think it was the best promo I've ever been in attendance.
It was just such a stunning promo. I had chills.
Like easily. I can't think of another promo that I was just like, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, I can't think of one. And just when I thought it had peaked and that it couldn't possibly get any better, out comes Will Ospreay. And Havoc did something else that just blew my mind. When Ospreay came out, he was carrying Jimmy Havoc's axe. And Havoc was sat on a chair and he pulled the chair to one side and put his head on the chair as if to say, you might as well just kill me. Because I think I'm worthless now. Fuck it. Just kill me. And the imagery throughout that whole sequence and...
That's a beautiful thing. It was beautiful.
It was just perfectly gelled together. And Ospreay killed it as well. Like, he came out there and cut a fantastic promo. And he put the axe down... Watched Havoc pick it up and then turned his back on him while he continued to talk. And then he said, like, if you were the Jimmy Havoc I know, you'd have put that axe in my back. It was just... Everything was so good.
It was so amazing. So good. Like,
It was really good.
And it was funny because, like, obviously we didn't know Will was coming back. And, like, when Havoc was, like, getting close to done the talk, I was, like, running to go to the bathroom. And, like, the security was not letting me pass by the entrance. And I'm like, why? Why? And then all I see is Will Ospreay. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, you little fucker. Stopping me from the bathroom. That's but, yeah, it was, it, it was, it was just a, the segment was just so good. Like, like I said, easily one of the best, if not, probably the best segment that I've ever been in attendance for. Like, I loved it. The callbacks, everything, the emotion to it was just fantastic. And like, and the match in Wembley will be great too. Like, fuck, man. Like, what, Wembley's so stacked. I wish I could go.
It's going to be a hell of a card, because when they have something like that, they know they need to load it up, because there are still a lot of tickets to sell to that building, so they need to load it up.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
and it's loaded.
The tag team Thunder Bastard match. Like, there's so much. Like, it's going to be a ridiculous
match. The thing with Thunder Bastard, I've never really liked the match. Like, sometimes it works when it's really well booked, which it is sometimes. Like, the one with Dave Mastiff... and the Origin split. That whole match was really well... the storyline was really well done from start to finish. Whereas, like, the one in New Orleans was just a mess.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet, honestly.
Just don't watch it. It's bad. So I'm not particularly thrilled about them doing, like, a tag team one. I like the idea of the tag team tournament that they're doing over the course of the summer. That's a good move. I just wish that the payoff was something more interesting.
I don't know. I think the teams that are involved will make this a really good Thunder Bastard. Mm.
And of course, they've got to do something with the title titles. There are like three title matches they still haven't worked out yet, and we're not going to say anything about that, because that's going to definitely be chapter 69 spoiler.
So, I was just about to blur it all out too.
No, so I would. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about from that weekend? Because a lot happened, and I don't know if we've covered it all, to be honest.
Like I said in the earlier recording that we had to scrap, the weekend was a little hazy. Because there was a lot of Long Islands being drunk. Not just like cups of pitchers. Lots of pitchers of Long Islands being drunk. So I'm trying to remember like things. But I just remember having a great time.
We did have a lovely chat with OJMO.
Oh, man. Shout out to OJMO. Because what a lovely fucking man. He was great. We had a very long conversation with the OJMO like the last night. Like after the last night when we closed out Spoons, and I loved everything about it. I loved talking to him. I've even admitted to him like when we were talking. I have never seen a match of his, but I after that, like when I got back home, I watched a couple, and like I'm very excited to see OJMO like prosper in wrestling, because I think he's definitely someone that should.
Yeah, he's very respectful as well, and he's funny, and he's
he needs to tweet gifted. More. He needs to fucking tweet
yeah.
more.
Yeah. His Twitter's not very active.
Yeah, get his game up, man. Like you are hilarious. Tweet more.
Okay. Yeah, so it was that and a lot of drinking.
Yeah, it was a lot of drinking with a lot of people.
Definitely the Friday was the drinkingest day.
Oh man, was Friday the day where I had like 11 pitchers all together, like before and after?
No. Friday was Wolverhampton.
Oh yeah, Friday was Wolverhampton. I had a few. I think I had like three or four.
You had quite a few pitches before going to the show, and then we drank until like 4 in the morning. So
yeah, that was great. Oh, so Saturday was Saturday 11 pitcher? I don't remember. See, there was an 11 pitcher day in one of those days. It was great.
It might have been Saturday. I don't remember. No, it couldn't have been. Saturday would have been...
Oh, yeah. Saturday was when I left off the Super Kebab. Shout out to Super Kebab. And their fucking great chicken nuggets. I was just like... I think it was after Eve, and we were just like, where is the chicken? And Mort was gracious enough to point me out to where the chicken places are. And I went to Super Kebab and got chicken nuggets and a burger. And I just sat at the bus stop for a bus that I was not waiting for, just eating my food with Maxie and David. And we decided to call that one. That was the early night. Saturday was the early night.
Yeah, I was still in the Dundee Arms until they kicked us out. And then I decided to walk home I don't know if you remember how far that was. It was about 5.5 miles.
I don't know, like, if I would feel like doing that after, you know, like, drinking and watching wrestling.
Yeah, that was a nice little stroll along Regent's Canal part of the way. It was a nice stroll.
Yeah, we did a lot of walking. We did a lot of walking that weekend. Mainly from Spoons to our place, but...
Yeah, that really wasn't very far.
Yeah, it really wasn't. It was like a 15-minute walk.
Yeah, about that. And we only sometimes got spoken to by crazy people.
Yeah, the grenade guy.
Yeah, mind grenades.
Yeah, he's like, T-Rexes. I love you, fat boy. And I'm like, sure. Everyone loves me, honestly. So
yeah, he was a strange fella. So there's a couple more shows that I need to talk about that you haven't seen. So I'm going to tell you how good they are, and then you can just, like,
be sad
that you haven't seen them. RevPro Epic Encounter was the week after Strong Style.
Yeah, I wish I could have filled the extra week for all that Wrestle Weekend, too.
Yeah, it was a very strong show. Like, RevPro have gotten very good at loading up their undercards with good matches. Stuff like Adam Brooks and Shane Strickland, Josh Bowden, Fred Yehi, Curtis Chapman, David Starr. Like, this is all very good stuff for the undercards. And then a match will come along and it will just be like blow away good. And that was Aussie Open against the Chosen Bros. That was just so good.
Oh, I love the Aussies. They're so good.
Yeah. Well, normally, they've kind of got into doing a lot of tag team formulas, so you get Kyle Fletcher gets beaten up for like 10 minutes, then Hot Tag and Dunkzilla goes crazy and just does all these big power spots, like the one-arm powerbomb, the close your eyes and count to fuck, and all that business. But they didn't do that at all. There was little bits of it, but it was just madness. It was a crazy match. And Kyle Fletcher was like, everyone else is really good in this match. I'm going to have to raise my game.
Yeah.
And he was outstanding. Like, really, really outstanding. And when you're, like, the best guy in a match with Matt Riddle in, then you've done pretty good.
Yeah, God bless, honestly. I love Kyle. He's fantastic. Him and Mark.
He's awesome.
Yeah, they're very wholesome boys. I would love to get like a wholesome brand T-shirt with Aussie Open going one day. I have the car needs, just saying. But that's what you just reminded me of: Mark Davis versus Clint Margera from Fight Club, which was fucking awesome.
I didn't see a lot of that match because I was coming back from the bar and I saw Jill and I wanted to talk to her, so we went out a little bit of a chat, and she was basically hanging out at the back because she didn't like the violence. So I kind of missed most of it, but it looked violent.
It was great. Great violence. I love violence, so it was awesome.
Back to RevPro. El Phantasmo and Will Ospreay. This was all about Phantasmo proving that he's good. Like, he's been having like steadily decent matches over the last year since he came over from Canada. But this was like the match for him. And even though like Ospreay has killer matches with everybody, Phantasmo really stepped up his game here, and he was really good.
That's awesome. I love LP. I think he's fucking awesome.
But even after that, so you've had like Chosen Bros and Aussie Open, which was fantastic. Phantasmo and Ospreay. And after that they had Suzuki Gunning and CCK, which is really good as well.
I'm not surprised.
And closed the show with Tomohiro Ishii against Keith Lee. And they had a really, really, really great match last year. But this was different because it was for Ishii's British Heavyweight Championship. And they killed it again.
I'm not surprised.
Like the last 5 minutes of the match, awesome. So I think RevPro's like really on a roll at the moment. Their WrestleMania show was I think one of the best shows of the weekend. If it wasn't for NXT having the show that they did, I think it would have been the show of the weekend.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to see that either.
It's really good.
Rev Pro has always been like something for me. I'm just like, oh, I'm great. I very much look forward to attending one of their shows soon. Again, wink, wink. And I just think they have been like putting these fantastic cards out. They don't like, especially when they do have the New Japan, they don't have like that thing, that the shitty thing that ROH does, where it's like, oh, we're just gonna depend on the New Japan guys and blah blah blah. Like, they do their own thing, and I'm really glad that they do, because they have
a lot of people. Andy Q is just such a better booker when it comes to using external talent.
Yeah, God bless him. I love him. One of my first interviews was Andy Q. Fucking hilarious.
And also, before we leave, I have to talk about the WXW show, which is the same weekend as Strong Style, which is Superstars of Wrestling. Normally, this is your nostalgia show where they wheel out somebody from the past and they have like a middling match against one of the WXW guys. Vampiro was over last year. Buff Bagwell.
Was it like Billy Gunn this year or no?
Billy Gunn was over this year, but he was in the opening match. So they put him in the opening match with Emil Satoshi. It was fine. And then they had Joey Mercury and Dirty Dragon in the second match. And then, like, everything from there on out was, like, at least good. So they had Alexander James and Mil Muertes.
Alexander James, man. The dude is fucking great. And, like, he's one of those dudes. He's very much on the, like, Jonathan Gresham, Timothy Thatcher kind of thing of, like, he did not get appreciated in America as much as he should, and headed out to, like, Europe and got, like, that appreciation that he deserves. So, like, I definitely appreciate Alexander James. Like, he's fucking great.
Well, I didn't realize he was that good until I saw him. Like, if you watch him on tape, it's like he's very methodical and technically sound.
Yeah.
But if you watch him live, you just got to get to see all those little nuances, all the little...
He gets it.
Yeah, if he's wrestling in front of 100 people, I'd say he's like in the top 10 in the world, because he's just that good. when you're right on top of the ring, you can see everything that he's doing,
yeah,
all the little details. But on tape, he just doesn't come across as well. But I think he's working on that. Like, if you look at the way his moveset has changed over the last 6 months, like, he's been deliberately adding stuff in that's a little bit showier, just so that when he's on a big show, he can kind of drag the crowd in with the spots. And then kind of take them forward with the mat work.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope America smartens up a bit. I know he's booked in, like, Nova Pro and stuff like that for over the summer. But I really hope, like, America smartens up and books him a lot more in a lot more places. Because Alexander James is pretty fucking great.
He is. I'm surprised that he didn't get over anywhere. But, like I say, his style is very methodical. It's very technical.
Yeah, it's like a semi WWE style. Like, when you think about it,
it's like halfway between that and what Sabre does.
Yeah,
it's in that area.
He's great.
But yeah, as I was saying, like, this show, like Superstars of Wrestling, it's normally you get a lot of nostalgia kicks, and you'll maybe get one match that's like really good. I think it was Ilya and Bad Bones last year had a really good match in the middle of the card. But this year, the card, they kind of stacked it up. So you had Lucky Kid and Jay Lethal.
Love Lucky Kid.
Oh, Lucky Kid's so good. Like, he's having like the breakout year. He's gone from being like the guy that does silly faces in a stable of guys who aren't good.
He faced Zach too, right?
Did
he face Zach too at some point?
Like... Yeah, he wrestled Sabre in Frankfurt, I think. I actually missed that show because it happened like the week before Strong Style, so when it dropped is when I was in London, so I didn't see it. But apparently it was a really good match.
Good stuff.
But he's so good.
He's great. Like, and his facial expressions are amazing. Like, he's great. Like, I think he's definitely someone that a lot more people need to pay attention to.
It's just, he seems like he's becoming the full package. Because if you watch this match with Jay Lethal, like, all the stuff that he's that Jay Lethal does really well, Lucky Kid's just mirroring it. He's doing either the exact same move and just as good, or he's doing the same style of move and doing it to the same standard. And if he's operating on that level now, like he can only get better as well.
Yeah,
so he's definitely one to watch. Definitely. And he's kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I just remember, like, just like I think I saw like some gifs of him, like, you know, making his little faces and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is someone I probably want to check out. And then, like, you kind of get caught up in like the career of it, like, and you just watch him as time goes and see him get better and better. And it's like, damn, man, this guy can be a star.
Well, I saw him wrestle Chris Brooks in London, and I remember thinking before the match, I was like, this feels like a real throwaway match that they just happened to have brought him over for it, so here's a singles match. And he killed it then. It should have been a sign there to me that, like, this guy's got something. But I didn't really cotton on to him until, like, the start of this year. And at Carrot, he was outstanding.
Yeah,
he was over huge at Carrot.
God bless Lucky Kid. So what else was on this card?
Also, Marius Alani and Killer Kelly against Absolute Andy and Melanie Gray. So they had the two feuds and they kind of threw them together.
What a team there. Marius. First off, Marius. What a fucking athlete.
He's incredible.
Ridiculous. Like, and then Killer Kelly can murder me, like, whenever. I fucking love Killer Kelly. I tweeted something about that this morning. I was like, the more, like, I think someone can murder me, like, it just makes me melt. And Killer Kelly is, like, completely badass. Like, someone, like, again, she, in my, like, for me, I'm not going to say, like, on the scene, but for me, she kind of just came out of nowhere, and I just fell in love automatically because she's
fucking
awesome. Well,
she kind of did. Because she moved to Germany from Portugal. I mean, she's been wrestling in Portugal for years. So, like, she's, like, a 6-7 year pro. But in Portugal, where there's hardly any scene there. So she moved to Germany, took a chance, and now look at her.
Yeah, look at her, man. She's amazing. And, like, and some of the opportunities that she's getting now, too, like, facing, like, people like Lufisto and shit, like, good
for
her.
Well, she's totally earned it. She's really earned
it. Absolutely
earned it. She's got a great attitude. And I don't know if you've seen her when she's not, like, in full fight mode, when she's kind of just relaxed and away from the ring. She's, like, so happy-go-lucky, and
yeah,
she's just a really lovely person to be around.
Yeah, she has a wonderful smile. I'm just like, wow, she looks so wholesome, but she can fucking kill me. And it's great.
Yeah, obviously, Absolute Andy this year has been so good.
Dad!
He's just been so good.
I've loved him for a long time, too. So I'm really happy that everyone is kind of, like, on that wagon now.
I always thought he was really good, but there was kind of a question mark as to, like, how good.
Yeah, the heel turn definitely emphasized exactly how good.
Yeah, because his promos have been outstanding this year, and his in-ring has been probably the best it's ever been. He's still fat, but but he's great.
Hey, man, us fat guys, we can do it. We can do it,
too. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a fun match as well. And you had Bobby Guns and Christopher Daniels.
Guns!
Bobby Guns.
Love that, man.
So, yeah, even with the nostalgia picks that they were bringing over, it was guys that could go, like Jay Lethal and Christopher Daniels, as opposed to Buff Bagwell. So it was like they were aiming higher this year with who they brought over. You had Monster Consulting against Rise on this show. That was kind of a weird one because you couldn't really cut the legs off Monster Consulting because they just won the titles.
Yeah.
But you also can't really have Rise look bad because this is the new look Rise and it's the first chance for, like, Pete Bouncer to prove himself. So they ended up doing a non-finish and having JFK turn heel and come in and steal the belts. So that kind of made sense. I kind of felt that they booked themselves into a corner a little bit there, but they got out of it okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes sense. So,
And then also on this show, and this is the main reason why I want to talk about it, was Ilya Dragunov against Volta. And I'm sure everyone that's listening to this has seen the final of 16 Carat from 2017, where Volta just chopped the absolute bejesus out of Ilya Dragunov. Pieces of the man's chest were falling off. And I'm not exaggerating. There were bits of his chest were actually flying off his body.
You should have brought me that instead of confetti. I still have some of the confetti in my wallet.
Oh, good. It feels like you're there. But yeah, this match is not like that match at all. Completely different. And the way that it worked was that Ilya Dragunov, he's now the champion. He's selling himself as being a smarter professional wrestler. So instead of just going head-to-head with Volta, taking a million chops and eventually toughening up and battling through and winning, went after Volta's hand and his hand and his arm and just completely eliminated the chops. So Volta only chopped Ilya once in this match.
Hmm.
And that was a real big spot as well, because it was Volta's like being backed into a corner, really struggling with his arm, hits him with one chop just to get out of it, and then couldn't follow up because his arm's hurt.
I love so it. That,
and Volta having to change his offense around makes you forget that Volta isn't just a guy that does chops.
Yes, like, yes.
He has this ridiculous power offense that you just you hardly ever see anymore, just because people have come to expect the
chops.
And instead of that, it's he was kicking Ilya as well. He was kicking him an awful lot in this match, and his kicks are devastating because he's huge. But like the combination of Ilya learning from his past experiences, so like when he had Volta had him in the Gojira clutch, and Ilya just grabs Volta's hand and bends his fingers back, and he's out of it. As the storytelling was great. Then they started stealing each other's moves. It's so good.
I love them. They're just like such great opponents. Like Walter and Star, they've had some incredible matches and stuff like that. But I think that Ilya and Walter is definitely the better opponents, like when it comes to like that. Like, I definitely prefer to watch Ilya and Walter than Walter and Star. But both are fantastic, sure. Obviously. But Ilya's
I
gone.
Just, I'd rather watch Ilya than just
than
about
most wrestlers.
Yeah, he's just so good.
I love him. I'm very jealous of everyone who took a picture of him yesterday. Like.
And also, they main evented this show with Tony Storm against the former Emma, Emile Dashwood.
How was that?
Tennille Dashwood.
Yes,
not Emile Dashwood. Yeah, that was fine. That was pretty good. Everything Tony Storm does is at least good. I think Tennille is adjusting to life on the indies. But yeah, the match was fine. I liked that they put it on last. They just kind of went, this is the main event.
Yeah.
Didn't make a big deal of it. Didn't go, oh, this is women's wrestling. We're championing women's wrestling. They just put it on last.
Making history.
They didn't bother billing it as the main event beforehand. They just put it on last. And it's like, there you go. There's your main event, women's wrestling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I dig that. But yeah, the big take home from this show is Volta and Ilya. Like, you have to see that match.
I think you have to see any time they wrestle, honestly.
But everyone that they've done before, so that I'm not going to go back before, but like Carrot last year was my match of the year for Europe anyway. And then this year they had the triple threat with Bad Bones at this year's Carrot, and then they had a match at True Colors in singles. And this was completely different to any of those. And those matches were heavily reliant on two guys just beating each other until one couldn't take it anymore and was beaten. Whereas this match was very much about the psychology of Ilya learning from his past experiences and Volta having to modify his offense because of that.
Yeah.
And it's a smart match.
You gotta love a good story. That is telling a story, and in the best way.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see what happens the next time they wrestle, and hopefully it's a little bit further along, because I think they've kind of played it through now. They've had Ilya win. He's seen Volta off, and now he's ready for another challenge.
And I think it's time that Ilya starts getting booked more in the UK.
I think it's happening now. The problem that he had last year was that he was working on Sundays. Like his normal routine was to work on a weekend. Mm. And because of that, he was missing out on a lot of opportunities. I know Progress were very interested in him second half of last year, but couldn't get him for the dates they wanted. So in a way, it's kind of paid off for them.
Yeah, because this is a big money match now.
Yeah, he's gotten hotter, and now he's coming in that much higher up the card. Yeah. So while it would have been fun to see him last year, now we're getting to see him when it's almost the time is right. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, you know, by the time I come back, he's booked more in the UK and I can actually get to see him live, because that's big on my bucket list.
Well, you should get a carrot.
Oh, I know. I gotta get my shit together in 2019, though, so we'll see.
Okay, that's all I need to talk about. I was gonna watch OTT's Scrappermania show, but I'm afraid I've failed you all. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't report back on it. But apparently, it was good, and they did a good gate, and the show was good. So, fair play to OTT. I will try and watch more of your shows this year. I've been kind of
behind, that was Jeff Cobb versus Ishii, right?
Yeah, and Devlin and Saber. I just nearly forgot.
Devlin is someone that like I definitely gained like a lot more respect for over the weekend after seeing him live.
I think Devlin had a good weekend.
He did. He definitely did.
And it was probably because of that overhead kick that he managed
the beach
on
ball.
The
it was sick.
Yeah, he killed that. So yeah, big weekend for him. Chuck Mambo, obviously Saber. Saber was great. And Pro Wrestling Eve. What a weekend for them.
Yeah, shout out to Eve. My favorite show of the weekend, honestly. I lost my voice a lot over that weekend. I think majority of the people that met me did not hear my normal voice. So this might be your first time hearing me actually talking regular.
That's a lovely voice.
I'm a lovely person.
Yes. Do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
whatamaneuver.net/wholesomebrand. I have my tea out with...
Sorry for laughing at that.
No, I usually get that reaction because of the name. So yeah, whatamaneuver.net/wholesomebrand. I have my current charity tea out with the Carnies. It's collaboration with them. All the money that we get from it, we will be donating to Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. So yeah, that's all I really need to plug.
That's cool. You can catch my reviews, all of the shows that I've talked about on this, on rearviewreviews.com. And obviously you're listening to this on Voices of Wrestling, so go and check out their coverage of European Graps. And that'll do. Thanks for coming on, Mark. Hope you had
a
good weekend.
Thank you for having me. I had a fucking amazing weekend. I love you, England.
Well, that's the end of it, obviously.